the pasture, run them in the pen, work them up to Sundays, do it all again. Race them in the sand, buck them in the mud, drip a cowboy's sweat, bleed a cowboy's blood.
I'm Zeke Thurston, 2016 World Champion Saddle Brock Rider, and you're watching the Peppert Stewart Show.
Yes, he said it. I didn't say it. You did. What is going on? Downtown Brown, like a rodeo clown, we're here. Everybody's here. Pepper's here. And with me, the man, the myth, the legend, Daryl's here.
I'm back.
He's here. We got a lot of stuff for you guys today. Oh, you're gonna enjoy it so much. We got your favorites. We've got some stolen cattle news. We've got stolen stuff. We got your beef news. We've got a great interview coming up for you, and your fan favorites, the odd news. Plenty of odd news that you like. And tonight, there's a show a lot of you've been watching. It took me a while to get into it. Because I tried it when it first came out. I didn't watch. I waited till the second season came out before I started watching. So I had to binge watch the first season to get caught up to the second season. And with that, take a little sneak peek of what we got coming up for you guys today.
My family and I find ourselves in an interesting situation.
Can I help you?
Looking for John Dutton.
Oh, yeah, who's looking for John Dutton?
The walls are closing in on all sides. We're fighting to survive.
Your father's ranch isn't a kingdom, and he isn't a king. Your family deserves to lose everything.
There are wolves everywhere here. I'll run this valley. And there's a war coming.
You bet your ass it's coming.
This is where change begins. With new partnerships.
They will pull you. They will twist you. And tear you into tiny pieces.
To beat her, I have to attack him. I have to play dirty.
We're about to find out how big a role you play in this family, son. You understand what I'm asking?
Loyalty, morality, not part of the equation for you.
Right and wrong so far from this place, I don't think it factors in at all.
This cannot be fixed.
All the angels are gone, son. There's only devils left.
If the cat's not in the bag, we've got an interview from a cast member from Yellowstone coming up for you guys. But before we get into that, we got some cattle news, and stolen cattle is on top.
Stolen cattle. Special Ranger Ben Engelson out of District 2 in Central Oklahoma reported that 67 head of missing steers from a property east of Mutual in Woodward County. A bunch of mixed colored steers weighing between 800 and 850 pounds each, white and gray tags in the left ear, but they must have the Crooked Arrow brand on their right hip. You know, it's pretty bad when people steal cattle. Hang somebody for that one nowadays, right?
That happens.
Special agent urge you give him a call. His number is 806-852-4741 or the Operation Cow Theft Tip Line at 888-830-2333.
And give him a tip.
Give him a tip.
Just a tip.
I'm sure they'd like to have those cows back at what cow prices are right now.
Yeah.
67 head of cows at 850 pounds each. It's a chunk of change.
Yeah, you're looking about $1.75 a pound right there. That's some money.
A little bit of money. Just a little bit. A
few dollars. Well, everybody's wondering what's going on with China. Everybody keeps talking about China and the beef, and it's just been a mess. It's you know, we just got access to China back in 2017. Right. We've been blocked out for a long time because that mad cow deal that happened a while back. It took forever. We got back in there, and then we got all these tariffs going in out of here. Nobody really knows what that means. Everybody says it. They're not sure what it is. And so now that we've been back in China, the beef market's not doing what was expected. I mean, you're only getting a small market like 5-6 million a month. That's not much.
No, not
that's,
at all.
That's not much. And then, you know, they slapped the 301 tariffs on the Chinese imports. And then you got an extra 25% on the beef. So, you know, it's just, it's not working out.
Well, I don't think it's really going to affect, you know, the cattle market in the States very much, because they're still going to, we've gone so long without China in the mix. So why does it really matter if China's back besides Kobe, right? And if you can afford to eat Kobe anyways, you're not really caring about what the tariffs are.
No, and it doesn't make sense. I mean, in the cow market, everybody's complaining about the cow prices and what's going on with that. But it's just like everything changes. Over the years, things change. People's diets change. What they eat's different, they change. So, you know, they're all talking about, well, people are moving on less beef and more chicken, or less chicken, more beef and all that. Well, things change, and you've got to work with the market. You know, if the market's up, the market's down, you got to work with that. You can't just say, oh, I raise cattle, I want this price, buy them for this price. It didn't work that way.
No, and it's never worked that way. No. If it did, we'd still be in the cattle market. But yeah. My dad got smart on that one.
Yeah, it's tough. I can tell you, because I took a load of calves, I guess, last month. I didn't want to take them, but I need to take them anyway. It comes down to the point, well, you can take them to sale and take a hit, or you can take a hit on feed. One way or the other, you're going to pay.
Well, and it all kind of washes out in the end, unless there's just a huge swing in the cattle market, which they're usually not a huge swing unless we have big fires or there's a hay shortage or something, or massive flooding. Not saying that we haven't had massive flooding up north, but I don't think that's really – I think the market's already adjusted for it to happen. But, yeah, either you're going to either send them to a lot and pay for them there before they sell, or you just go ahead and take them now and take the hit early. And I'd rather take the hit early and get it over with, and you can start moving on, getting everything squared away for the next year's crop coming through.
And you got to. And if you're looking for the beef prices, if you go to pepperstewart.com and click on livestock markets, there is a list of livestock sales across Texas. We've got Texas, Louisiana, Kansas, California. They sell cows in California.
Do they really?
They do.
They haven't been banned yet?
Not yet. So we've got cow sales from all over. So you can go in there and see prices wherever you're at, because everybody watches the show from all over the place. You never know where they're at. So we've expanded our cattle market prices to just about everywhere that puts out a decent cattle market sheet. So we've got those out there for everybody. So, I mean, if you want to know cow prices, they're out there. I don't know. Cows are crazy. Horses are crazy. Laws are crazy.
Laws, you know what? There is some horse laws, and some of these, when we were reading through these, some are pretty funny. Did you know that in Wilburg, Washington,
all right,
they can impose a $300 fine on you if you're riding an ugly horse?
Oh.
But yet, riding an ugly horse in Hartsville, Illinois can result in jail time. I guess that's eye of the beholder, correct?
And who judges? Who judges that?
I don't know. There's some interesting ones in here. Horses can't mate within 500 yards of a tavern, school, or a church in California, which that one strikes me very odd in California. Yeah. Since I've seen some crazy stuff in San Francisco. Let me see here. What else we got?
You got this one here. In McAllen, Texas, taking photos of horses on Sunday can get you up 3 days in jail. So don't take pictures of your horses on Sunday.
Well, Fountain Inn, South Carolina requires horses to wear pants inside the city limits.
Well, of course. you got to be the dress code. You know the dress code.
Well, you can dress code, talk about Argentina requires horses to wear a hat when it's hot outside.
Well, you don't want to get a sunburn. you don't want a sunburn in there.
Or horses must pay admission to enter the taverns in Burns, Oregon.
Well, you got to pay the fee.
Everybody pays at the door. Nobody gets in for free, right?
You got to pay at the door. Speaking of pay at the door, let's do this. Let's jump into this. Let's jump on. We've got a guest for you guys from the show Yellowstone. We're going to get him on the line when we come back and talk to him and see what's going on in the rodeo and TV world. All right. We did tell you we had a special treat for you tonight, and that we do have from the show Yellowstone. We've got a cast member who is not only a Western actor on TV, but also from the world of Ranch and Rodeo. And with that, let me introduce you to the man, Mr. Forry Smith. Forry, you with us?
Hey, Pepper, how are you?
Oh, doing good. We are doing great down here in Dallas, Texas. So you've been having a busy week this week?
Yeah, not this week yet, but last week I did work tomorrow in the bunkhouse with me and the bunkhouse crew.
Yeah. So tell us about your rodeo days and how that came about and your transition from rodeo into the you know, stunt work and TV.
Well, that's not a very short story. I'll try and make it as short as I can. I was raised in a rodeo world. My grandfather rodeoed back when they snubbed the horses in the middle of the arena and match raced and roped calves, and that is what eventually led me into the movie business. My granddad rodeoed back. My grandma would load up. They'd put the horses in the stock truck and tie the saddles to the side and put the bedrolls and tarp on the cab of the truck and pull in the rodeos and set up camp. And Harry McQuarrie, a bull rider, said that my grandma kept him in her Dutch ovens, kept him from starving to death many a day on the rodeo trail. And he would come by my mom's house. We was living in Camp Verde, Arizona, and staying with my mom, training some colts out of there, trying to get my bank account built up, go back on the rodeo trail. I'd been in the top 25 and stuff. And he came by, and I had a beard and long hair, and he's like, "Boy, you got the look, and there's some movies." He says, "Now I'm going to go rodeo." And Harry says, "No, I owe your family." And he told the story about grandma keeping him starving to death on the rodeo trail. He says, "I can introduce you to some guys, the stunt coordinator and the livestock coordinator on this movie. I can get your foot in the door. And then whatever you want to do after that, you want to go rodeo on whatever, that's fine. But," he says, "I want you to come meet these guys now." And that was on Three Amigos. Jerry Gatlin was a stunt coordinator, and Corky Randall was the stock livestock coordinator. And they hired me and as an expert horseman. And when I walked out of the hotel there on Oracle in Tucson, there's some people, "Hey, you need to go down to the other hotel. They're casting extras and stuff for another movie." And that was the remake of Stagecoach. And that, I got on that as an extra, and I worked 3 days, and Red Wolverton hired me as a wrangler. He seen my horsemanship. Well, there's a whole story goes with that, too, of course. a year later, I got my Screen Actors Guild card, and I've worked a lot as a wrangler, and I enjoy working as a wrangler because, I love horses, and that's what I know more about than anything else in the world is horses. Horses are responsible for everywhere I've been, everything I've got, and stuff between bucking horses and training horses. They're it for me. I love my horses.
Now, I read somewhere that you were still riding bareback horses at 50 years old. So when did you get on your last bronc?
I got on my last bronc in 2011 at the Turquoise Circuit Finals, October 2011.
So you still made circuit finals in 2011, which is pretty damn good.
Yeah, the year I was 50 years old, I got on, I got on 119 head between all the associations. I was 19th, I think, in the PRCA at one time during the year. And I was second in the circuit and second at the circuit finals, and then I kind of started tapering off after that. I got where it didn't take them to snap my neck too much and would knock me out. So that old calcium on that vertebrae back there got built up over the years where it didn't take much. So that I had to quit.
Well, what's it like now working on Yellowstone up there in Montana, up in your neck of the woods, and being part of the Yellowstone franchise?
As an actor, it's a dream come true. As a cowboy and a Westerner that comes from our heritage, it's really cool. I don't really know how to put it in words, but all I've seen and lived through a lot of the things that the Yellowstone Dutton Ranch is dealing with, you know, the water tables. I've seen that in Arizona when I was cowboying down there, and then vineyards come in and put their wells in, and then the ranchers surrounding them all have to go re-drill their wells to get down to the water table. The tax deal, you know. So it keeps my head spinning, and it keeps me on my toes. I got a whole lot of people that I love and that appreciate me and that I respect, and I'm kind of sponsoring them, and it's pretty overwhelming, really, to tell you. I try not to think about it, I guess. There's a lot going on there.
Let me ask you this question. I know you got – I actually got some friends out there on set with you, Jason Owens and Christina and all them. How does it feel from your point of view going out there and having to correct them on a few things that just from season one, it's kind of funny. You see some of that stuff when you – us that come from the real world, it's like
this is what happened the first couple of days of the first season. Remember when we taped Jimmy to the bucking horse?
Yeah.
Well, and then Rip goes out and gets on him, and the reins are hanging loose. And I says, "Hey, that wouldn't happen." They go, what do you mean? I says, but he'd have them reins tightened up. He'd either have it tucked under his elbow where he could take that horse's head away, or he'd have a hold of the head stall when he stepped up on him. I said, "The reins are all beat. This, we can't." I said, "Well, I'm finding out right now. Do you want me, my input? Do you want me to correct things like this or not?" And they said, "Well, we're hoping for 10 million viewers, and 8 million out of them viewers won't know." And I said, "Yeah, but the other 2 million will be calling me."
Trust me, I made some phone calls. I was like, "What in the world are y'all doing out there?"
And, like the 3-month-old calf being newborn and the wild horse with the brand and the shoes on, I got calls about that. But one of the toppers was an old guy named Bulldog Davis up in Whitehall, Montana. Raised some fantastic horses. I've been part of the family. Rodeoed back with my uncle, my mom, and stuff. And I said, "Well, what do you think about that, Bob?" He said, "Well, they had me at the first line of the movie." He said, "After that first line of that movie, they can have wild horses, branded wild horses with shoes on and 3-month-old newborn calves." I said, "Well, what was the first line?" He said, "Well, you know it." I said, "Well, yeah, I do." He said, "Yeah, the things we go through to keep you fed when you're staring out at them cows." He said, "I was a fan right there." So, and we've got some things coming up here that I can't talk about the next couple episodes, rodeo things, and I'm going to my social media coordinator this Friday, and we're going to make a little video that, hey, people, you know, yeah, because of time constraints and budgets and stuff, we can't make it just as actual, you know,
right?
But let's just be proud that our culture and our heritage is the number one drama on cable television right now, and breaking records and stuff. Hey, let's be proud of that. We're gonna have to let some of this stuff slide and, you know, overlook some stuff, but this is our world, our culture, our heritage is the number one drama on cable television. I'm breaking records, you know, as we speak, and hopefully we do it again next week.
Well, you know, I've noticed that it's inspired a lot of people, actually, to go up and visit Montana. Matter of fact, my wife, I was out of town, and she sat there, and one of our friends from Canada was down. When they come down from Canada, they steal all our cable and watch all the, you know, all the backlog of Yellowstone. Yeah. And my wife's like, well, if we're going to Cheyenne next week, I want you to take me to Yellowstone. So I ended up driving her all through Yellowstone, all the way up to Big Sky, Montana, hung out in Big Sky, Montana for a few days, and drove back around. And she was just amazed. She's never been up there, and she saw all that country. And it all made sense to her about everything. Now she wants to move to Montana. ain't happening.
She wants you to what?
Move to Montana. I told her it wasn't happening.
Oh, yeah.
Too cold.
Well, you know, yeah, I left there in 1980 of fed cows in the big hole. It was 52 below in February with a team and a sled. And that August, I was working in the hell in the valley, and it was 106 degrees. And I was like, this is a 160 degree differential. 2 weeks later, I was in Port O'Connor, Texas, and I've only been back to visit and to work. And it's one of them things. You can see it right at the ranch. My grandpa and grandma's house, my aunt lives there now, and the pond in the back is about a fifth of the size as it used to be. You know, the water table, all them people that have moved in around there. As a kid growing up there, there was only like three families that lived on that mountainside year-round. When I started grade school, there was 13 kids in 8 grades. And now they've got this big prefab school built in there, and there's just traffic and paved roads. And my mom was talking about the will, and I said, well, you don't need me to leave me any land. I ain't moving up to this crowded SOB.
Yeah.
And,
Well, I'll tell you what, Ford, man, we appreciate you visiting with us and telling us some good stories and what's going on with Yellowstone, a little bit about your history with that, man. And we wish you good luck on the show, and we'll be tuned in next week.
Hey, well, thank you all for watching. If you all wasn't watching, you know, I mean, this is a game changer for an old has-been rodeo cowboy. And I appreciate you all watching and y'all's interest. And you call me anytime, give me a heads up like you did. We'll talk anytime you want.
Will do. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Pepper.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. That's good stuff. Yellowstone. It's an interesting show. Like he said, there's some stuff, because that's what happened to me. When it first came out, everybody said, watch this show. I watched 10 minutes of the first episode, and I turned it off because the guy went and caught a wild stallion. By right. himself, loaded the trailer,
right,
then took it to his place, and when he went to unload it, it had a halter on, and he backed it out. And I was like, what is this? So I turned it off. I was like, I can't watch this. I was doing some other stuff. But then once the reviews started to come in, people started talking about it, I was like, oh, you know, maybe I can overlook a few things. You know, I had to do that when Dallas came out. You know, the new season of Dallas was out a few years back.
That was only because you were on Dallas.
Well, I was on it.
Don't lie.
Well, throw it in there.
That's the only reason anyway, I watched my TV show.
It was the same thing, so... You know, I watched a few things, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to watch it anyway. And it turned out, Yellowstone turned out to be a great show. And it's kind of reminiscent of Dallas, with, you know, kind of like that. If you were a big fan of Dallas back in the 80s, then, you know, it's kind of like that. But other than that, let's jump into a message right here from our friends over at Angus TV.
Since the 1980s, Kansas-based Green Garden Angus has aimed for carcass merit, targeting the certified Angus beef brand since its start.
My dad, Richard Jansen, was very good friends with Mick Colvin, who was kind of the magic man for certified Angus beef. And they both toured packing plants looking at the percentage of good carcasses. And one of the things they came away with was, you know what? It doesn't cost any more to feed a prime carcass than it does to feed a select carcass, if you have the correct genetics behind it.
Since then, the Perkins family has selectively bred for better beef, along with maternal function, all for their customers' success.
When you take a look at, say, our last set of heifers that went through our test situation, they came out with IMF score average of 8.02. So that is on the cusp of being prime as yearlings, with an average back fat of 3/10. And that is something that across the board as an industry, I think people are striving for. Our bulls produce that, our females produce that. And when people come to Green Garden, it is for that high carcass quality. And it is for the maternal side that we bring.
IMF, or intramuscular fat, is highly correlated with marbling. So those scores relate to cattle that earn premiums across the board and bulls that are eligible for an elite logo.
This past year was our first year for using the targeting the brand. It was a lot of fun to do, a little challenging on the regulations for the targeting the brand promotion. You had to put the targeting the brand emblem on every single lot that met the criteria for targeting the brand, which in our catalog was every single lot.
Seeing that trademarked logo reminds customers of the balancing cattle that do it all, while making a good first impression on new buyers.
The thing is that the Angus breed has proven that if you target a goal, you can reach it. You can reach the higher weaning weights, you can reach the higher yearling weights, you can reach the carcass size that you want. You can do the same thing with marbling. You can do the same thing with calving ease. And you can do the same thing with longevity in your cows. You just have to target and focus on what your end product is.
I'm Bob Cervera.
All right. That's some good stuff. That's some need-to-know information right there from our friends over at Angus TV. But what we're talking about now is going to be rodeo stuff.
Rodeo. Well, that's what we're opinionated in.
That's it. Talking about it. Talking about stuff, there's a story coming out that I put it out last month, I guess. It's going to kick off next month in North Texas Farm and Ranch Magazine. And we're talking about breakaway roping.
Breakaway roping. It is the event that's been around for years and years and years, but it's finally grabbing hold of mainstream. And I think, and I'm going to upset a lot of people, but I don't care. I think that is going to be replacing calf roping.
And there's a possibility. And some of the producers I've talked to, top producers who put on rodeos, have mentioned that before, that they would rather have breakaway roping in the performance than calf roping, which they turned it to tie-down roping. And they're like, why'd you change the name? Well, it's the same reason why you changed the name from steer tripping to steer roping.
Correct.
They had to change it. And then you don't have, you know, when you go watch a rodeo, you don't have steer tripping or steer roping in a rodeo. And your average rodeo fan, if you say anything about steer roping, they think you're talking about team roping anyway.
Exactly.
So they don't even know what it is. And then they see at the end of the year, when the PRCA is up there in Vegas, and they see these people, somebody won already won the world championship steer roping, they're like, how'd they win the steer roping that hadn't even started yet?
Yeah, they didn't realize it was in Oklahoma, you know, 3 weeks prior. Yeah, and you know, this is the thing. So calf roping, it's gotten a bad thing over the years, and unfortunately the ropers aren't helping themselves out either.
Nope.
When they throw little hissy fits and stuff, but I can understand their point of view, but it's going the lines of steer tripping. So calf roping will probably get moved along where it'll be just in slack, and that's how steer tripping is. Steer tripping now, if it makes it to the major rodeos, they're either offside or they're during slack, so the only people that are coming to watch it are people who want to watch it. They're
right.
Not the mom and the three little kids seeing a poor calf, if they don't wear their slack correctly, get daylighted and jerked back, or you know, something else happens. And the rodeo side of it, we know those calves aren't hurt as bad as what they look like.
You know,
we know they're like rubber bands. They bounce back up and whatnot. But the normal person that comes to a rodeo does not know that.
Right. And in today's times, the problem that you run into in today's times is everybody's got one of these.
Oh,
and everybody's filming at a rodeo. And so you can take a video of something that's going on, put it online, and you can put whatever information you want, because there's so much misinformation going on out there that people can put whatever they want with their video, and 90% of these, you know, people that are not in the know or don't know what's really taking place are going to believe whatever's said.
Right, and that can go for anything. Just you put a 20-second or 10-second clip on Facebook. Next thing you know, you're going to have a million views, and everybody's going to formulate their own opinion about something when it's just put out in context. All they have to do is say one thing about that clip, and it doesn't just involve, it could be anything. It could be bucking horses. It could be roping cows. It just takes one person that's uneducated or thinks they know what they're talking about, which they don't, and they are educating wrongly everybody else that sees that. And going back, like I spent this past week, we were in Cheyenne Frontier Days, and I got to see firsthand. You know, it was the first year that they've ever had Women's Breakaway open in Cheyenne Frontier Days. We were there for Slack, and they had a huge crowd. I mean, they had a huge crowd watching Slack. That never happens.
Right.
And I was talking with one of the big guys at CFD, and he laughed and he goes, "We know we're gonna have this big of a crowd. We should have charged admission to get in." And them girls were fast. Holy cow! I think a 4-1. Come back in. That was the top 40 or whatever they brought back in for the performances. I mean, them girls, and they had a 20-foot score and everything, and just roping, and it was more entertaining than the calf roping. I hate to say it that way, but it was more entertaining to watch them girls go out there and rope than it is to watch the guys rope.
And with the breakaway is a lot more easy to follow for the average person going to watch a rodeo event that doesn't really know what's going on most of the time. Breakaway is easy to follow. You see a calf come out, you see a rope go on, rope flies off, that's it.
Yep.
It's done. There's no, you know, you got to, and they got the barrier, which everything's got a barrier, which they really don't know what's going on. All they see is a calf takes off running, a rope comes around its neck, flies up in there, and the calf keeps on running, never stops. Right. At the other end.
And the stock contractors like it because it's not as hard on the calves. They're basically running, they're not getting jerked down or anything else. And it is, it's a speed event. And it's incorporating women back into rodeo, where before we only had the barrel racing. Now we're slowly but surely we're incorporating more women, you know, and it's just coming out. These girls are just as good as guys.
Yeah.
In some cases, they rope faster than the guys.
And that's the thing. You had a lot of these girls. The thing is, these girls grow up from youth all the way through high school competing in multiple events.
College.
Through college. But then once they get there and go professional, that's it. It's either, you know, it's barrel racing.
Barrel racing, or they can only run the tiers down. So they're running IPRA, UPRA. Yeah. You know, and their state associations,
New
Mexico Rodeo, Texas, you know, Cowboys Professional and whatnot. So
now, you know, over the last year, they've really blown it up for the women in the breakaway open to really get some big checks.
Big checks, I think. There was a Beck sunglasses roping that happened on Saturday, this past Saturday, the opening day of Cheyenne. And I couldn't tell you, it was over 200 and something ropers attended that, and it paid out $25,000 to win. So they're not just roping and they're not getting in, but they're making the money. They're bringing back big money.
And they're doing it. And even your favorite association, the WCRA, paid out $50,000.
Yeah.
To Jackie Crawford. So
good for her. I'm not going to get in on the association, but good for her.
and at the American this year, the high school girl got $100,000.
Yep.
Breakaway roping.
And well deserved.
Yeah.
Because I spend just as much money on horses and
you got horses,
roping
you got
and everything just as a calf roper does.
Yeah.
And, you know, not just talking about that. So we got the women breakaway ropers there in Cheyenne. This was the second year that we had women's ranch bronc riding in Cheyenne.
Ranch bronc riding? Women's ranch bronc riding. And who handles that?
Oh, I don't know. Some guy.
Guy from Texas? Texas Bronc Rider Association?
Yep. And so we had the Trail of Cheyenne Tour this year, and it wrapped up the season in Cheyenne during Frontier Friday. Carly Ramsey out of Honey Grove, Texas.
Texan.
Well, no, actually, she's from California. She's from Narco, California.
She's been here long enough. She's Texan now.
She's Texan now. She came in, made an awesome ride, got a huge check, and enough that it bumped her up to first place. She won the saddle. She won the buckle, everything. The top four ladies were invited by Cheyenne Frontier Days to compete in the opening day of Cheyenne Frontier Days. Everybody had great horses. We covered two out of three that came back in and rode, and it was a tie, if you can believe that. 82 points, both of them. Pearl Kersey out of Pitcher Creek, Alberta, Canada, split an 82 with Carly Ramsey. out of Honey Grove. They got a really nice, well, they're both getting really nice buckles, but one of them walked away with a really nice buckle. And I was talking with Pearl Kersey. She made this amazing recovery. She actually clicked her heels about the third jump out and got back in her saddle. And I was like, how did you do that? And she goes, well, Wade Sundell was back there and gave me a fist bump. So she says, I wasn't going to get bucked off in front of Wade Sundell. So I was like, fair enough. Next thing on Instagram, there's a picture of her clicking her heels and Wade Sundell and a little arrow pointing down to Wade. And behind, you know, I guess he pushed her head out or something, you know. So I was like, works for me.
It works.
But it was great. I mean, it's amazing the crowd. You got 8,000 or 9,000 people that are just screaming and stuff. And all the ladies were invited back next year. So we're going to do it again.
One more time. What about PBR?
Oh.
Professional Bull Riders. They always got stuff. They're always doing something. They're doing stuff all the time. And what they're doing is Coors.
Coors beer. You know, this one really caught me off guard because Bud Light was always been such a – they were one like the founding sponsors.
Right. Bud Light Cup back in the 90s.
Bud Light Cup back 7 years ago. And for Coors Brewery and Coors Banquet Beer – to step up, and now they are an official PRCA sponsor. Well, they've always been, I guess. Right.
They've always been PRCA.
Now they're the official beer for Bud, or I want to PBR. Say Bud Light, because I'm so used to saying Bud Light, for the PBR, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to be hard to do the transition, but I think it's a great fit, the whole Western fit.
The Yellow Bellies.
Oh, yeah, drank them all weekend.
There you go. So they're teamed up again, so that's going to be good. Speaking of Canada, you did say Canada, didn't you?
Oh, Canada.
Well, PBR, been in Canada for a while up there in Cesar, Alberta. I guess that's how you say it. But Lane Mailer's double entered the event. He double entered. And he's from Australia. He went all the way from Australia to Canada.
Well, they better let you get on two.
So he got on two. And he got his first event win on Canadian soil, 82 in round one and then 86 and a half. So he got it done. Earned a check for $6,200 plus $10,000 bonus for a sweep of the top two positions because he ended up in first and second place.
That's amazing.
Enter twice, first and second. Hey, if you're not first, you're last. So he's both. First and last. That's
and
good.
Got a check out of the deal.
Got a check. And speaking of PBR, if you weren't here in North Texas last year, you're going to want to be here again next year. For the Global Cup, back here at Jerry World, the spaceship in Arlington is the PBR Global Cup.
That's an amazing bull ride.
Great event. So take a peek at this and make sure you want to be there.
The Professional Bull Riders returns to Arlington, Texas for the biggest event of the year. 6 teams, 5 countries, 1 Global Cup. Be there as the best bull riders from across the globe battle it out in the ultimate expression of national pride. The Windstar World Casino and Resort PBR Global Cup USA, presented by Monster Energy. Only at AT&T Stadium, February 15th and 16th. Get tickets at SeatGeek.com.
So don't miss it. That's where you want to be. Arlington, Texas. It's going to be a great event again. It was something to see. This year, next year, it's going to be even better, so don't miss that. So, speaking of missing stuff, let's jump into some stuff missing or not missing. Depends on what's in your cranial cortex. We got odd news.
Man, we haven't done this in so long. This is pretty funny.
It is?
I forget going back and looking like this. So, I don't know where we get all this stuff from, but let's talk about this one. And we're not going to Wisconsin for once. It was always Wisconsin and cheese.
Oh, yeah.
And I spent a lot of time in Wisconsin lately, trust me. Cheese is really good. So let's go to Illinois.
All right.
So an unusual pair of long-haired cows in Illinois pulled off their second escape in 3 months, were found swimming in a lake. Must have got a little hot up there. The Lake County Sheriff's Office said two Scottish Highland cows, that's where the long hair comes from.
Right.
Named Doris and Hilda, escaped from their homes on a farm late Tuesday and early Wednesday. The runaway cows were later found taking a dip in Lake Vila. The sheriff's office said they led deputies on a two-hour slow-speed chase that ended up the animals returning home voluntarily. There were no coincidences. The cows finally came home safely back and are in custody, or cow custody, or however you want to, cowstody. The deputies are amused In this one, the sheriff's also tweeted, the two cows previously made headlines in May where they escaped and went for a trot down a busy road. Which, you know, up here in North Texas, that's usual. That's
well, yeah, that happens all the time.
Well, that's a Wednesday.
I had cows out Friday. So, yeah.
Fence down or what?
Let's crawl, calves crawl through it.
You got to love it. All right, so I want to tell you, well, let's jump to the U.K. because we always love the U.K. They always got something. A British farmer was inspiring drivers to slow down the road. In a village, he was dressing up his scarecrow to look like a traffic cop. So, basically, he put a scare cop up. He had a scarecrow that he had as a mannequin head dressed up in clothing resembling a police officer in uniform, holding a radar gun to get people to slow down that was driving past their farms. I guess recently they've changed the speed limit through there, and they had two accidents prior, so now he has a scarecrow dressed up as a cop and they're slowing stuff down, which kind of reminded me because they did the same thing out in Austin, Texas a few years back. Did you remember that patrol car they had up on the median? It had no tires, just parked. It was just parked up there and it couldn't go anywhere because it looked like they set it up there with a crane or something. But for as long as I can remember, everybody come through there, they'd see it every morning, but everybody'd still slam on their brakes because there was a cop car sitting there, but there was never a cop there. So we'll see how long this one lasts.
You never know they're going to switch it out. Which in the UK, you know, during this year and a half, whatever hiatus from here, you know, we spent time overseas. We just come back from Ireland. And I get that because the roads are so tiny. The roads are tiny. So if you're flying down through there, there's nowhere to go.
It's like a golf cart path.
Yeah, and a lot of those roads, the fences are bricks. They got a brick fence. The brick fence is on the edge of the road. There is no white line and meat. Nothing. It's right there. There's some places we were driving through towns, and like a barn would be in the road. So you'd drive up and then go around the barn in the road. I got pictures of that somewhere. I was like, what in the world? Where's the right-of-way? Is there a right-of-way over here that have property lines? How do they even work? And so, yeah, I get it about people flying. Of course, I was flying too in that little rented golf cart that I was in. I got some good GoPro video of that though, flying up and down through there on that little golf cart on the other side, shifting over here. That was weird. But didn't you talk about cheese?
Cheese, yep.
Let's go to Wisconsin.
We are going to Wisconsin. We always go to Wisconsin.
Let's go to Wisconsin here. We got a ram on the lamb.
No joke.
That's not a text video. A loose ram.
Full text for this.
A loose ram gave police a slip after being spotted in a residential neighborhood. Debbie Reed said it was outside her home on Tuesday when she encountered a male bighorn sheep in her yard. She was shocked because it looked like a wild animal and nothing that should be around there. After about 30 minutes, the ram left. She doesn't know who it belongs to or any of her neighbors. But the deputy responded to and located the ram in the backyard of the residence. They've contained it with several officers surrounding it, and then it got scared off by a flock of pigeons, and it ran away into the woods.
Just a random ram.
Just randomly. Well, by looking at the picture of that thing that you've seen there, that thing looks shaggy. So you would think it was something out of a horror movie.
That thing Revenge of the ram.
Could use a good shaving. A little ramscaping going on. Let's go to Tennessee.
All right.
Way up in Tennessee. This happened to me. So I believe this story because it happened to me one time.
I don't know because I don't believe half the stuff that happens to you. But if you ever lived my life, you wouldn't believe half the stuff that happened to me either.
A Tennessee woman received an unwelcome surprise when she lifted the seat of her apartment toilet and came face to face with a snake.
Now I've seen that happen. Okay, I can believe this.
Kristen says she discovered the snake Thursday night in her apartment near Chattanooga. She said, y'all can't make this up. A dang snake in my toilet. She said, you hear about that on TV, but you never thought it would happen to you. So be careful before you use the bathroom. Always check and see if there's anything before you sit down. Apartment maintenance crew tapped the toilet, shut it down. Pest control came in, figured out where it came in and out. And the snake appeared to be a garter snake.
That's it? Just a garter snake?
Just a garter snake. Now here's what happened to me. We were down in Houston. And in the barn had a toilet. There was a bathroom in the barn.
Right.
And I was going out to feed horses one day, and there was a bunch of water on the floor coming out of the bathroom door. I was like, why is there water there? Something wrong with the toilet's broke or something. So I look in there, and I see water on the floor. So I reach down and turn the toilet off. I turned it off. I didn't think anything of it. I come back, there's more water on the floor. I'm like, where is this water coming from? So I pull this toilet lid up, and right there looking at me is a water moccasin.
Big good size one or what?
I about broke my neck getting out of that door. I run in the house. I was looking for a shotgun. I was fixing to blow the toilet out of the barn. Well, the kid that was out there helping me feed, I run in the house, grab a shotgun, because I'm not a fan of snakes. Now, I probably wouldn't have shot it and blew my toilet out, people, so don't get all upset.
I would have. So anyway, so go ahead.
I come back. He's standing there holding this thing. He's like, here it is. I got it out for you.
Watermark.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Like, well, no. Take that thing as far away as you can, maybe to your house, put it in your toilet, and get rid of it. So ever since that, I've always paid a lot of attention to toilets. Before you sit down, always give yourself a courtesy flush once or twice. Make sure nothing right there fits to poke out to you.
Well, see, my cousin lived in Guam for years, so I heard all his stories about them popping up to the toilets. But luckily, knock on wood, I don't have to worry about that.
Now, we did have one come in the house a couple months ago. It was a little bitty one, though. Come through the doggy door.
I'll tell you a good story. My wife will kill me.
Uh-oh.
So we moved. When we moved back to Texas, from our Florida, Louisiana moves and whatnot, I was sitting in my office one night, and our dog had this really deep wolf. I mean, just real deep. And then he did it again. I was like, that doesn't usually bark like that. And the next thing I heard, my wife screaming at me. I come running through the house in my underwear, because I'm sitting in my office working at 10 o'clock at night. And she said, there's a snake. Of course, whatever. So I'm like, where? She's like, behind the trash can. So I moved the trash can, and there was a little cotton mouth rolled up. Of course, I'm standing there in my underwear, and I didn't know what to do, so I ran to the garage real quick and grabbed a hammer, and I grabbed a pair of tongs, and I'm sitting here trying to beat the heck out of this cotton mouth in my kitchen at 10 o'clock at night, and the little bad boy went under a crevice under my cabinets. Gone. I couldn't find him. So my wife goes, what was that? And I said, it was just a little garden snake. I said, don't worry about it. She's like, it wasn't nothing poisonous. No, nothing poisonous at all. Of course, I tore that kitchen up 2 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't find that thing. So I thought I got away with this one. It's like, she was sleeping, everything's fine. About 2 weeks later, the neighbor comes to the door, knocks on the door. We're sitting there talking. He goes, boy, did you see that big old cotton mouth out here that we ran over middle of the road? And I just kind of looked at him like, don't say it. Don't say it. And he goes, I hit that thing and babies went everywhere. And then she looked at me and she said, that was a cotton mouth, wasn't it? And I was like, yeah. I think she slept in a car for 2 days after that. And then we had to remodel the kitchen. So we had to tear everything out and redo it all. But yeah, don't ever lie to your wife about what kind of snakes in your house.
Because yeah.
Eventually she'll find out.
It'll catch up. It'll catch up to you. Oh, before we round this thing out, because we got to get on the highways and byways, there's a new show coming out. For those of you in the sci-fi, I guess, that like that kind of thing, like Game of Thrones. Apparently, I watched all seasons of Game of Thrones. People that are Game of Thrones addicts are going to be upset because I couldn't tell you anything that happened. Or anybody's name.
I know there's the short little guy. You can't call him.
Yeah, there's a little guy.
You got politically correct. So there's the short dude.
Yeah.
Right?
And there's dragons.
There's dragons, and there's some gal that went crazy or something.
Yeah, something like that happened.
Okay.
Well, apparently,
somebody got their head cut off. Somebody used a sword.
Yeah. There's lots of sword fights going on. Lots of sword fights. There's a new show coming out that plans to dominate the audience of Game of Thrones.
Intriguing.
It's a book, just like Game of Thrones was a book called something else. Well, anyway, Netflix has thrown their hat in the ring. It actually says Netflix threw their hat in the ring. I didn't make that up because I'm wearing a hat. And this came out during Comic-Con. The Witcher. Apparently, the kids told me it's a video game also called The Witcher. Well, anyway, they're coming out with a Netflix series that plans to dominate Game of Thrones.
Well, if it's Netflix, I can see it, because Netflix has been throwing some serious money around lately with all their TV shows.
They've got some good stuff. I've been watching a lot of good stuff on Netflix, a lot of good series on there.
Yeah, I like Netflix. Netflix is pretty cool. I spend a lot of time in hotels traveling all the time. And
now this,
you know,
series,
Netflix is the best thing in the world nowadays.
This series I probably won't watch unless I have to. Unless they're watching at home and I get stuck watching it. Like the other. But anyway, I don't know. We'll let you guys see what you think. Check this out. See what you think about that. Maybe you'll watch it. Maybe you won't. Other than that, check out pepperstore.com, One Around Farm Ranch TV. See what's going on. Until then, we'll see you on the next one.
I remember hearing stories about witches. Is it true what they say?
Elves are the original sorcerers of the continent. When humans and monsters arrived, elves taught the humans how to turn chaos into magic. And then the humans slaughtered them.
Chaos is the most dangerous thing in this world. But without control, chaos will kill you.
So that's all life is to you? Monsters and money.
It's all it needs to be.
Something out there waits for you.
This child will be extraordinary.
Yennefer, imagine the most powerful woman in the world. Do you have what it takes?
You've got her here. She's why they came.
You can't outrun destiny just because you're terrified of it. It's coming.
Find Geralt of Rivia.
I can't do this without you.
No matter what you choose, you'll come out bloody. Fire!